League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, Michael, tell me a little bit about your upbringing. I know you were born in New York, but then shortly after, you go back to Belize.
Yes, my family, my mom, my dad, you know, their entire family is in Belize, and I feel like they just came out to New York because they had a couple family friends and aunts and uncles that live out there, and you know, I was so happy to, you know, be born in New York at the time. Because they were getting married, and we were going to go back to Belize, and yeah, that's just how it started. I just, you know, I was born in New York, but I know everything about Belize, you know, because that's where my parents are from.
So the obvious follow-up question is, if you lived the first 18 years of your life in Belize, tell me where the soccer influences come from, and who that influence may have been, or might have been multiple people.
Right. You know, my mom's sisters, they all have kids around the same age. We're all about the same age, like maybe 1 year apart. So, you know, we grew up together really close and, you know, have some uncles that played before me and they play in the semi-professional league that Belize has. And I used to go to every game on the weekends. And, you know, I think it's just something that I've seen growing up. And that was like the only fun thing to do as a little kid when I was growing up, is going to the games and, you know, just trying to see how I can get into that same system. And that's pretty much how I got into it.
Did your uncles kind of help you with the game? Did they try to coach you, or was it really a matter of you just kind of tagging along with them and picking things up and then trying to play yourself as you got older?
Yeah, I just tagged along. They never showed me anything. They just pretty much, I just watched them play and it was a great feeling, you know, the environment was good, and I thought, you know, I wanted to be a part of it, and I just tagged along, and I just started playing, and that's how I got into it.
So at what point does, you know, Michael Salazar then say, wow, there's a bigger picture to the game of soccer? Because you're on the island of Belize, and I have family in the Caribbean, and I know how sort of contained sports can be in the islands and in places like this. So at what point do you know there's something bigger out there, that maybe you can go to the United States and play college soccer, or there is a pro game? Do you reach a point where you understand that as a teenager?
Yes, for sure. I think that was one of the biggest things for me. When I was about 15, you know, I was on one of the semi-professional teams down there, and I told my mom after my last game that, you know, I wanted to move to America because I feel like there's more opportunities for me. I was, you know, one of the best young players in the league over there. And, you know, my dad's sister lives in California. And I was like, you know, I was just begging every day, like, how can I get over there? You know, I used to watch MLS a little bit on TV. And I was like, I know I can play in that league someday. And I'll do anything I can. And, you know, she told me, you know, we just need to get another bedroom and, you know, we can have you come over in California. And, you know, they did their stuff within 3 years. And by the time I was like 17, turning 18, they told me I can come over. And, you know, they just gave me a head start as far as, you know, housing. And I just took off from there.
So then how do you get the connection to California Baptist and then you transfer to UC Riverside? So you play your college soccer in California. How does the California Baptist university opportunity come along?
Right. I was supposed to go straight to college when I came over because I was done with high school, but I didn't have all the credits because I didn't have the U.S. History class, the government class, and all that stuff. So I had to stay an extra year back in high school. And my coach in the high school system in America, he is a pastor, and so he recommended that I go to that school. I didn't know anything about any school. I thought all schools in America played each other. I didn't know anything. So yeah, he connected me with them, and that's how I started with Cal Baptist.
Well, and you had a very good freshman year. From what I understand, is you ended up with 11 goals as a freshman. So at this point, I mean, you're playing good soccer. Are you enjoying going to college and doing the study side of it?
Yeah, I enjoyed every moment I was there. And as I learned while I was at the California Baptist University, that this was only a Division II. Working there, we had to get to a Division I. So I had to request a transfer from my coach and to go to the University of California, Riverside.
So you get to UC Riverside. You finish there playing very, very well. You're all Big West. You earn a lot of honors. And then all of a sudden, you're in the 2016 MLS draft a couple of years ago. You're picked 24th overall by Montreal. What a moment that must have been for your family. How about your uncles? Did they have something to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of my uncle was at the draft with me, actually.
And, oh, that's
great. I mean, I couldn't even describe that moment. That was, you know, one of the best feelings in my life. You know, my mom was there. You know, I always told her that I could have done something like this. And even when I was there, she was like, "When are they going to call your name? When are they going to call your name?" Like, you know, she was like anxious. And, you know, once they called my name, I was, you know, I was speechless. I mean, the whole country in Belize, I gave a little, you know, hope to, you know, the people back home, and know that anything is possible if they just set their minds to it. Because ever since I was 15 years old, that's when I knew that I could do something like this. And I knew that it would take some time to get to this point. And, you know, I just continue to work every day to try to be the best that I can.
You know, that's a remarkable story where you talk about the influence you have back in Belize and how deep that can run, because I've seen that happen in the U.S. Virgin Islands where my family is. And when somebody goes pro or is successful on that island, and I'm talking about the island of St. Thomas, everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it.
Right.
Everybody takes tremendous pride in it. So when you go back to Belize, do you do anything? Do you do clinics with the kids? Do you connect with them? Tell me about that.
Yes. 2017, my first year when I went back, after the season was over, I did a 5v5 tournament, and about 2,000 to 3,000 people just came out, and I couldn't create enough teams because I only made a bracket for 16 teams.
Wow.
And it was 5v5. You can have about 10 players on your team to rotate, and yeah, everybody showed out. I just, you know, I went on the radio talk show because my dad owns a little radio station, and I just announced it. I was like, "I'm coming home, you know, you guys can come out to the park." And I had the nets and everything set up. I went out like at 5:30 a.m. you know, set up the nets, painted the field with some of my friends, and you know, people came out. I had a speaker system out there, and I just, you know, announced the 16 teams, and we all played all day from about 9 till about 8:30 in the night. So it was huge, and you know, it just, you know, the love of the game is there. You know, some of the kids just need an opportunity and somebody to see them, and you know, I just came back and I try to do something for them.
Are there other kids there that can make the same sort of jump that you've made if they get an opportunity to come to the U.S. and can you help one day to get them additional exposure?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of talent. You know, a lot of talented kids that just, I mean, the life is just so hard back in Belize that you know, they just, you'll see them for like a season, but they'll get caught up in something, and it's just like hard to get them out of it, and you know, it's just tough, and it's something like, you know, that I want to be able to do to help them, you know, see that, you know, if they just get an opportunity and somebody sees them, you know, just give them a chance to just at least get the exposure. I feel like, you know, there's talent there for sure.
Yeah, this is a really good interview, Michael Salazar. Thank you for doing this. I'm going to continue on here with, you know, then you get into the pro game, and the pro game is not easy, and that's spoken from a guy who was playing in leagues that would fold and teams fold, and you're looking for opportunities, and you're fighting your way through it. It's a little bit better nowadays, but look, you had a litany of loans with Montreal, and before I get to the loans, though, I do want to talk about your first professional goal that you score. Well, let's start with the Canadian Championship, because you score against Toronto FC. What was that feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to always say, like, I used to watch Drug Bond TV, and I was like, man, this guy is unbelievable. You know, not just the things he does on the field, but the things he does awareness for his country. And I used to always look up to him. So when I got drafted to Montreal, I knew that, you know, I was going to be his teammate, man. I just couldn't wait, you know, so I can be able to learn from him and just see how he carries himself. And that was my first goal, and he assisted my first goal. So, I mean, that was like a dream come true for me. And, you know, I remember going into that game, and the coach told me, yeah, this is where dreams are made of. You know, this is your time. You know, we were losing. He's like, come in and, just go out there and do the best that you can. And I'll tell you a story that is kind of rare, but when I went in, I was supposed to go in as a right winger. He was the forward. And he told me, no, you go forward. I went in. This is coach's instructions telling me to go on the right. And I went in, and he told me, no, I'm going to go on the right. You go up top, because right now you have more energy than me to press the defenders and, you know, try to do something.
Drogba said that to you. Right. Drogba said that to you?
Yeah, Drogba told me that. Oh. When I went in, I was like, are you sure? The coach told me to go on the right. He's like, no, go up top, go up top. And, yeah, you know, like 2 minutes later, he got the ball on his chest, brought it down, put it in the box, and I was just at the right place at the right time, and I scored, and I was just like, man, he sees the game so much different than a lot of people, and it was just like a surreal moment for me. And, you know, from there.
Now, wait a second. Did that cause any problems with the coach? Like, when you didn't go to the right side of midfield, you have your coach telling you one thing, but you get on the field and Didier Drogba tells you something else.
Exactly. And imagine it's my first ever game for the club. So, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, you must have been. But what can you do, right? You got to listen to the man who's on the field, I guess. And the fact that you scored might have made it easier to digest for the head coach. Who was the head coach then?
It was Mario Biela.
So. But he must have been happy for you after.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, like I said, he just said, you got more energy than me right now, so just come in and, you know, go get a goal. He's like, you have to score. He told me, you better score today. That's what he told me, like, when I went in. He's like, you better score.
And then in MLS, get two against the New England Revolution.
Right. And then that's another story, too. I wasn't even supposed to be on the 18 that day. Coach called me like in the middle, not the middle of the night, about 10:30, 11 before I was going to go to sleep, and he told me he's like, one of our players is sick. His name was Antivera. He's like, he's sick. We're going to have to start you tomorrow. And I was like, okay. He's like, are you ready? I was like, yeah, I'm ready. And yeah, I was excited. You know, I rested well. I got my pregame meal in, stretched, took a nice walk, and went out there and we won that game. I remember.
Well, those are some incredible moments. That was a great story you just told there about Didier Drogba and yourself as well. All right, so you go on a litany of loans. You get a bunch of loans, and that's part of the MLS game when you're trying to break in for so many people, is going on these loan deals and performing to get your chance again, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's just times when, you know, I wasn't playing, and, you know, they told me I'd have to go get a couple games with Ottawa, who they were affiliated with at the time. I'm not sure if they still are. And, I just went out there, and, you know, I did really well, and they called me back to play again. And just, you know, just trying to stay focused every day. Don't put your head down when things like that happen, and know that every moment I get to play is a huge opportunity for me to just showcase myself and just try to do the best I can, and especially from the youths back in my country, just to see that you're going to face adversity sometimes, and, you know, you just have to try to adapt the best way you can, and don't put your head down and just keep going.
All right, so Michael, let's talk about adversity, because that's something every player has to deal with. There's ups and downs, and I'm sure you've seen a number of guys walk away from the game because they didn't have the strength to want to hang in there and try and get it done like you have done. And you have also fought through injury as well. So just talk about the ability to be able to handle disappointment and when things don't go correct for you.
Right. I mean, for me, what's huge is I know where I came from. You know, I know how hard it is to get out of, you know, the poverty and the struggles every day. And just seeing, you know, a lot of violence and, you know, killing and stuff like that. And when I get to play soccer, you know, for me, every day I don't take it for granted. You know, last year I thought, you know, my career was over after I got injured when I hurt my knee. You know, every day I was talking to my parents and my aunts and some of my friends. I was like, man, I don't know if I can play again. Like, my knee is just, like, not getting better. You know, my agent was calling certain people. They were not willing to take a chance on me. You know, so I felt all of that stuff, and I was like, I just need one chance to, like, prove that I'm going to, you know, be healthy. My knee is going to be all right. And I went to Birmingham. I remember this right in the beginning of preseason with them. You know, I wasn't in the best shape, you know, because I couldn't practice. I couldn't run on my knee. And I got there, and we would just do some little rondos or something, and I felt slow. I was like, man, I feel like I won't be able to get back in my head, but I'm not telling anybody that. But I just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and, yeah, they told me, you know, we don't think you're there yet. You know, I know obviously I'm not fit, and I told them going in that I wasn't ready, but I will get to a point where I need to be. And so it didn't work out over there, and, yeah, my agent called, I think, Nick from the Houston Dynamo, and, yeah, they told me, you know, they'll give me a chance down in RGV, and I went down there, and I did the best I could, and, you know, I scored 8 goals in 8 starts, and, yeah, so I never gave up. That's the one thing. I'll never give up playing this game, you know, and I go out there, and I do the best I can every single time, because I know exactly where I come from, and I know how hard it is. I don't ever want to be in that situation again.
Well, you did a wonderful job at RGV. You got yourself back up to Major League Soccer with the Dynamo. What it was like to get back on the field, you know, in MLS with the Dynamo when you got your first minutes under Wilmer Cabrera up here?
Yeah, I mean, when they called me and they told me they were going to bring me up, man, I'll be honest, I was in tears. You know, I knew that I could get back there, but I never thought it would be so fast because of what I went through the entire year last year. And, you know, I just know that as long as you work hard and you just stay positive and continue just to dedicate yourself to the game, that anything is possible. And when I got that first, you know, call up and he put me in the game, I mean, I know that I'll do anything, you know, for this team because they gave me the opportunity to be where I want to be. And, you know, I still got unfinished business. We're still going, you know, and, you know, my time will continue to come, and I'll just continue to try to get better and get to know these guys because, you know, I still have, this is going to be my first, like, full week of training because when I first came, we just went Wednesday, Saturday game, Wednesday, Saturday game, Wednesday, Saturday game. You know, so this is actually my first, like, full week of training with the team to get to know the guys and understand how the coach wants to play and stuff like that.
Are you getting more comfortable with all that? Because you've played 102 minutes, you've appeared 5 times, you did get the start recently. Are you feeling more comfortable around the team? Because it does take a while to get, you know, comfortable in a locker room and get to know some of the players and your teammates.
Right, right, for sure. You know, it's easy to go out there and play sometimes, but, like, I like to get to know the style of the game that the guys play, how they move with the ball, without the ball, and, you know, just I was just like right now, just like, you know, going in games and, you know, trying to learn on the fly. So now that I actually have some time to settle down and, you know, be in my house because I was in my apartment room too, just, and I just got all my stuff. And so I'm just setting up everything. And, you know, I'm still, like I said, this is my first full week of training with the guys. And yeah.
Michael, what were some of the things Wilmer Cabrera said to you, the manager, when you went on the field in Cincinnati and to take on FC Cincinnati? I'm just curious, you know, because it's difficult for a coach too when you got a new guy in, you haven't had a lot of time to speak with him, integrate him. What were some of the things he said to you?
Yeah, I mean, we were down, you know, like they just came over to me on the side and they told me, you know, go in, try to hold the ball, you know, bring some energy to the team. You know, try to get the guys going and, you know, just keep the ball in possession and just let's get a little flow to the game. you know, and I just went in and I just tried to press the center backs, let them just kick the ball away, get it back to us, and we just start moving the ball. And, you know, I'm getting more comfortable with the team, and, you know, everybody was, you know, I think a little bit feeding off of the energy that I brought into the game. And, you know, we got two goals. We could have got more, but, you know, we just came up short. You know, every time I go in, he always tells me just go in there and just bring some energy, try to keep the ball. You know, I'm strong, so I'm very good at holding the ball, especially if we try to get up and move the team forward. So, yeah, those are some of the qualities that I bring to the game.
Now, outside of Didier Drogba, who are some of the players that you love watching?
I love watching Cristiano Ronaldo. He is the definition of if you work hard and just there's no secret. You know, you just if you work hard at your craft, I mean, you can be one of the best players in the world. And he is the definition of that. And that's one of the guys I love since 2006, 2007. That's when I start loving watching the game on TV.
How about on the team? Like, what about a guy like Albert Elise who's you know, had an outstanding season, certainly 95% of the time here in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this guy, he's extremely dangerous. You know, whenever he gets on the ball, I mean, he is causing problems for everybody. So, I mean, if he continues like that, you know, he's still young too. So he got a long way to go. And you know, if he keeps up what he's doing right now, I mean, never know what can happen for him. So, you know, I feel like he's working hard. You know, coaches are always, you know, on him, making sure that he is continuing to do well. And I'm just looking at a guy like that and, you know, try to feed off of him. And hopefully I can build a good relationship with him on the field as well.
Well, Michael, your story, I got to tell you, a really inspirational story. It's great to really learn even more about you. And thank you so much for this. And when that tournament goes down again in Belize, let me know, because I would love to combine watching that tournament and coming down there and hanging out and doing a little fishing at Ambergris Cay as well, because I hear there's some good fishing in Belize.
For sure, absolutely, yes.
Did you do any fishing growing up, by the way? Did you fish at all?
No, actually, I'm afraid of getting any kind of water, to be honest with you.
That's all right. We like you being it's better to be landlocked anyway at times. So.
Yeah.
But you know you are around some of the greatest reefs in the world. You do know that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, listen, we're happy to have you in Houston. Thank you for the really candid, fun interview, and we look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.